Okay, so I'm going to go through a few more mitzvahs today, which again might seem to us as maybe technical or dry, but we'll learn some lessons from them as well, as we do try to do. There's four or five mitzvahs, you know, in the parsha we're discussing in Kisetze that apply to taking collateral for a loan. And we'll talk about what each one of those is and what it means, why we do, why the mitzvah is as it is. Just in general, when they use the term in halacha, collateral, there's really two different applications of it. One would be a collateral you take when you give a loan. So I give a loan. At the time of the loan, I want to have a security so that I can get paid back from it, or to encourage him to pay back, the borrower, and therefore I take collateral at the time of the loan. The second form of collateral, which is when the loan is due and the borrower is not paying back, so to forcibly go and take collateral as a security for payment is the second kind of collateral. So we'll discuss the differences in the two. One would be at the time of the loan, given to me as a security at the time of the loan, and one would be a method of kind of forcibly holding on to something to collect payment. This is collected later on. Two types of collateral. So the first mitzvah I want to discuss is, Number 585. And the Torah says, so I'll read the English here. When you shall claim a debt of any amount from your fellow, you shall not enter his home to take security for it. You shall stand outside, and the man from whom you claim shall bring the security to you outside. So the mitzvah is, you can't go into someone's house to take collateral. That's the mitzvah. So even though the money is owed to me rightfully, and even though I may even have the beis din on my side, we'll see what the beis din can do, but I still can't go into someone's home to take collateral. The sages tell us that's not just going into the home, but the borrower, the lender, can't even forcibly take collateral out in the outside the house. I mean, I can't go to someone and say, you owe me money, I'm grabbing this from you. I can't do that. Even if I don't mean to keep it, I just mean to hold on to it as security. I can't do that on my own, and I can't go to this house to take collateral. So what can you do? So the beis din, the court, is allowed to send someone to take collateral, but not to enter the house. I mean, a court could forcibly collect the collateral, but the individual cannot, and no one's allowed in the house of the borrower. That's the mitzvah. This is talking about collateral, which is being given, you know, as a payment. Meaning the second kind I was discussing before. Not at the time of the loan, but later on, it cannot be taken forcibly and by the individual. It could be taken forcibly by the beis din, but no one's allowed to go into the house. So that's one mitzvah of collateral that I want to discuss more about. I'm going to go list them all first, and then we'll talk about them individually. That's number one. Next one is 586 and 587. There's two different parts to this one. And that's the next pasuk in the Torah. It says, if the person is poor, meaning if the borrower is poor, you shall not sleep with his security. I mean, you're not allowed to hold on to it at night. You shall return the security to him when the sun sets, and he will sleep in his garment and bless you, and for it will be an act of righteousness before Hashem your God. So there's a halacha that if you take a collateral to be as security for a payment, let's say it's his pajamas, or it's his pillow, or it's his blanket, or it's his mattress, so you can't hold on to that at night. You can hold on to it during the daytime, but when night comes, you can't deprive him at night of his sleeping gear that he needs. And the reverse as well. If he has a tool which he needs for his job during the day, you can't have it during the day. You can take it at night. So let's say the guy is a carpenter. So you go in and you grab his saw. So you can hold on to that at night, but you can't keep that during the day. You have to give it back during the day. This is described elsewhere in the Torah as well. Just describes it a little more clearly in Parshas Mishpatim. I'll read to you what it says there. It says in Parshas Mishpatim. Go back for a second. It says, if you take your fellow's garment as security, until sunset shall you return it to him. For it alone is his clothing, it is his garment for his skin. In what shall he sleep? So it will be that if he cries out to me, I shall listen, for I am compassionate. So Hashem says that if he cries out that he has no pajamas, then you're going to be in trouble, basically. So there's a mitzvah that even though you could take that collateral, and you can only have to return it for his usage. Which sounds a little bit, you know, counterproductive. Then what's the point of taking the collateral? We can discuss that point.
But it's not just at night.
Yeah.
At night you couldn't take something.
So And you can't take his night clothes you can't have during the night, and his daytime stuff you can't have during the day. So you could have it when he doesn't need it, basically. But if he needs it, you have to give it back. So there's a mitzvah. So this is both a prohibition and a positive commandment. There's a mitzvah that you shall not keep his collateral overnight when he needs it. L'sishkav bavoto. And there's a positive command. I just lost my place here. There's a positive command that says, show me the bookmark.
Return it to him.
Return it to him. Yes, yeah, I want to read it. Just read it from the quotes. Here it is. Hashem Tashu was have returned to him the collateral at sunset. So you have the positive, return to him, and you have the negative, don't sleep with it. Don't have it overnight. So when does this work exactly? So this is talking about when you didn't take it at the time of the loan. If at the time of the loan you made a deal, okay, I'll give you $10,000, but I'm taking your bed, then you can keep it. This is talking about we're trying to take it as a security for payment later on. At that point, you can only hold on to him when he doesn't need it. But if he needs it, you have to return it.
Later on, but before the loan is due.
No, when the loan is due and he's not paying up yet.
Okay.
Right.
So all of these mitzvahs that you stated so far are only if it was not part of the contract in the first place?
Right. If it's part of the contract, then it's okay. Right.
Okay.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you.
So the question arises, well, if I have to return it to him, then what good is it? I mean, the guy owes me $10,000. He's not paying. So I say, okay, so I'm going to take your mattress and hold on to it to pay me back. He says, okay, but I need it tonight to go to sleep on. So I have to give back to him. So what did I gain by taking his mattress? I mean, what exactly is that going to do? So there's a lot of different halachas that it does make a difference. So I'll just share with you two of them. It gets a little complicated, so I don't want to get too in-depth. One is the concept of Shemitah. We know it's Shemitah. Every 7 years, loans get released. But there's a halacha. If the loan is made with a collateral, that loan is not released. That loan remains because the collateral kind of keeps it going. So even though you have to return this collateral daily, being that there is collateral which is given for this loan, that loan's not canceled at Shemitah. That's one rule. Also, the rule is typically if the borrower dies and the lender has to collect from the inheritance, from the estate, so typically you can only collect money from the remaining land and real estate, not from other items. But if there's collateral, you can take from that collateral. So if a guy had not given me his mattress, and the guy died, and now I want to collect from his children, I typically only collect if there's actually real estate to collect from. But now that there's collateral, I can actually go take from the collateral, despite the fact that it's not real estate. So another, again, these are all different complex halachic topics. Those are two differences. As even though you're not going to hold on to the collateral at times they're inconvenient for him, he's not really going to miss it. You do have advantages by taking this collateral. So that's that mitzvah.
So when you take the mattress at night, you can't take the mattress at night. You can give it back the next day.
I can't take it at night.
I'm sorry. He needs a mattress for the night.
Right.
Okay.
So you could take it in the morning.
Okay. And then you give it back.
Give back at night.
And this goes back and
yes,
forth?
Yes, back and forth. Yeah.
Unless the borrower dies and you can take the mattress from the family.
If the borrower dies, then you can take the mattress as payment and keep it at that point. Yeah, at that point. Because it's already been made collateral. So it seems to be a funny process, but at least you have that advantage. It won't cancel your loan at Shemitah, and if the person dies, you have something to collect from. So that's mitzvahs number 586, 587. Now we're going to talk about mitzvah number 591. 591, it says, Lo sachbo beged almana. You're not allowed to take, literally, you can't take the garment of an almana, of a widow, for collateral. And the sages tell us it's not just a garment, but anything. You can't take collateral from a widow. And that halacha applies whether it be in the contract at the time of the loan or whether it be later on. You cannot take collateral from a widow. That's the rule. Even with the beis din. Even the beis din has no right to do this. So nobody in no situation can take collateral from a widow. So that's a mitzvah.
This isn't sexist. It's a widow or a widower?
It's just a widow.
It's just a widow.
Yeah, it's just a widow.
It is sexist.
I guess you can call it that.
Again, is this the collateral that's taken?
It's both, either way.
Okay.
This one applies to both. Yeah, so this applies to both.
So a widow may not make a contract with collateral.
Correct, yeah, right. Well, I guess, if she chooses to give it, I'm not sure. If she chose to give it on her own right, said, I will give collateral if you give me a loan, I'm not sure if the loan will be there. But,
okay.
But you definitely cannot convince her, and you can't take from her. I assume she can't even give it, is my assumption, but I'm not sure about that. So that's mitzvah number 591. And then one more mitzvah. This is, I'm actually going backwards now. This is going to be 581. Not sure why I did it backwards, but this is going backwards. 581 is another mitzvah about collateral, which is, I'll find it in here. It says you can't take as collateral the millstones. For you'd be taking the life, a person's life. A person has a mill they use to grind up their flour. This is what they use to create their bread. This is what they use for their livelihood. You can't take that mill as collateral, because if you take away that mill, you're taking away his life. Because if that's what he produces food, and you take it, you've taken away his ability to produce food. So you're not allowed to take a mill. And the sages expand this, and they say what it means is any tool or utensil used for food preparation you cannot take as collateral. So whether it be, it could be grinding tools, kneading tools, an oven, cooking tools, a shechita knife for slaughtering, all those things we forbid to take as collateral because they produce food. You can't take things that produce food for collateral. And the reason the Torah gives is very explicit. Ki nefesh hu chovel, because when you take that, you're actually taking away his life as collateral. So the halacha is, if he has extras, you could take. So if, let's say a person has several mills. So you could take the extra mills, because he needs to have one behind to make his food. You don't have to leave him extra mills. If a person has a lot of bowls for kneading, or more than one oven, he could take one oven, or one bowl, as long as you leave behind for the person to actually produce their food. This is forbidden for what the individual and for Beis Din to do. So even the Beis Din cannot go in and take this kind of collateral. However, this is allowed also at the time of the loan contract. So if we make the loan on condition that I'm taking your oven as collateral, that's okay. So this prohibition applies only to things happening later on, when I want payment, but it doesn't apply at the time of the loan. So now we've given, I think, five different mitzvahs all in this parsha that have to do with collateral. So let's review them for a second, then we'll talk more about the model over here.
What parsha are you in?
Kisetze. This is all, we've been in Kisetze a long time. There's a lot of mitzvahs there. So number one is that you can't forcibly take collateral as an individual, but the Beis Din could. Number two, no one's allowed to enter the house of the borrower to take collateral. You have to wait outside for it. Number three, you have to return collateral when it's needed. You know, daytime garments in the day, nighttime garments in the night, work tools during the day, etc. You can't take collateral ever from a widow. And you can't take as collateral items used to produce food. So we have four or five different mitzvahs here all having to do with collateral.
No collateral of any type from a widow.
Yes. Yeah. So I think there is an overarching theme here. And this to me is probably the biggest lesson of all these mitzvahs. And the theme here is, let's call it two themes. I'll give two themes. Number one is that some people have an attitude, business is business, and religion is religion. And I have a loan, he has a debt to me, I need to get my money back. And who are you to say? I can't, legally there's a debt. And the Beis Din has declared, there's a debt over here, and he owes money. Who says I can't separate the two ideas? I have to realize that despite the fact there's money owed to me, I can't lose my feelings for another Jew, my compassion for another Jew. I can't embarrass somebody. I can't oppress somebody. Just because there's a debt doesn't mean it gives me the rights to do whatever I want, which is a misconception, I think, that's in the world. That if someone has a debt to you, sometimes you have these collection agencies. Lives are ruined because of debts. And the Torah says, hold on a second. This is just money.
Are you going to talk about interest-free loans?
We did that actually. It was last week, 2 weeks ago. I think you missed that one. 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's 2 weeks ago. To give you the recording.
Can I read about it?
I'll give you the recording. You can listen to it.
Yeah.
But we have to always understand that a compassion for another Jew has to really, permeate all parts of life. And just because I made a business deal or I gave out a loan and the person owes me, it doesn't give me the right to be a cruel person. Those two things don't go together. You can't compartmentalize religion, compassion, and money. It doesn't work that way. The Torah tells you this is how you act in life in all situations. And money is secondary to another Jew's feelings of being tormented, of being down, of being depressed. You can't ruin someone's life because of a debt. And it's funny because we are so accustomed in the world that when people get buried under debts, their lives do get ruined. And in our minds, that's just like normal. You took on responsibility to pay, you didn't pay, now we can take everything away from you. And the Torah says, hold on, there is a wrongdoing here. If you have a debt, you have to pay it off. And the Beis Din can come in and do whatever they can to make you pay. But there is a line which the lender cannot cross.
Excuse me, yeah. What about when they garnish wages?
Yeah, so I mean, garnishing wages would be a way which you're paying back. So they're not coming in and taking. I don't think they fit in any of these categories here. Maybe the forcibly taking, but you're allowed to, the basin could forcibly take from your wages. They could do that. So I would assume that's okay as long as the basin has allowed that. That's the bigger theme over here. The Rambam says that all the laws you have between borrowers and lenders in the Torah, they're all telling us the following. He says it's chemla le'alav yonim. It's having compassion for the poor. It's rachmanis. It's mercy. Kindness to them. No, these laws are supposed to generate compassion, kindness, and mercy, not generate this idea of contempt and fighting and and being subjugated to another because you owe them money. The idea of interest-free loans we discussed, but that's also I'm not out there. I'm out there to help you, not to make money off of you. And that's the entire twist the Torah gives to loans and to this type of interaction. So I want to see each one individually and kind of show how it fits into this theme. But that's really the theme, and it's a very different theme than we have in American society. I mean, anyone who has to be involved, unfortunately, with like a debt collection agency, they do come. They'll drive you crazy. They'll ruin your life. They can ruin your job or your reputation, everything, just because there's some money owed. And again, the person has to pay money. He shouldn't take on responsibilities he can't handle. But why should that ruin your life? Well, why do those two things have to connect? So let's take these individually. So we've spoken about this mitzvah. You cannot take as collateral the millstone or anything that has to do with food preparation. And the Torah says, "Ki nefesh hu chovel," because you're taking away the person's life, their livelihood. So very simply, you know, a loan is an issue, a monetary issue, but a loan should not cause a person to suffer or starve. I have a debt, but why should that make me have to starve? Why should it make me have to not be able to put food on my table just because I have a debt? There has to be a line. Just because there's a monetary obligation, why should that destroy me? You can't kill me because I didn't pay my loan back. That's not a capital sentence. So if you're taking away my oven and my mill and all my pots and pans and dishes and I can't produce any food, basically you're telling me that taking out a loan should destroy my life. And that's not true. It shouldn't. It's not a death sentence. It's just a monetary obligation which I have to live up to. But there shouldn't be a death sentence involved in taking out a loan. So that's the lesson of Kianefesh Shulchovel, that you're taking a person's life away through the loan. This idea of not going into a person's home to take the collateral, wait outside for them to bring it out. So it really goes two ways. That means that we expect the borrower to actually walk outside and hand you the collateral. We're expecting that. And for that, the Beis Din, you know, should encourage a person. You have to have gratitude to one who gave you a loan. Giving a loan is a risk. It was a kindness done to you. How could you be so have such a nerve not to just follow through the basin's instructions and give the guy the collateral? You owe him. He helped you out. So that's very important. A very important, you know, lesson on behalf of the borrower. In terms of the lender can't go into the house and take collateral. But just think about it for a second. When someone barges in your house and has to rummage around and take your stuff, that's so demeaning, so degrading, it's embarrassing. And just because the guy owes you money, you can't embarrass him. Again, this doesn't give you a right to destroy a person, to embarrass a person. And again, this is another part of, I think, American culture that, you know, we see people who have debts are going to be embarrassed and ashamed because of their debts, and that's not a Torah outlook. He owes you money, but you can't go into his house and cause the person to feel degraded and embarrassed because of it. Additionally, different commentaries point out that if you were to send in the lender, even the Beis Din, into the house, so it may end up putting him in an immoral situation. Let's say he goes in the house. The house is a private area. You don't want just some stranger barging your house to take stuff. Let's say that no one's home besides, you know, there's a woman home in the house, and the Beis Din's agent comes in to take something. So then you have a situation of yichud, of two people being secluded, and it could lead to activity which is immoral. So besides the embarrassment, you don't want to cause people to infringe upon your privacy and your modesty. If I can just barge into your house and take what I want, then that means I can infringe on somebody's privacy, that doesn't give me a right. Again, just because there's money owed doesn't give me a right to infringe upon your privacy. Number three, many commentaries point out that if someone comes into your house to take something, it may lead to fighting, maybe even, you know, murder. I mean, people fight over their property, and the Torah recognizes that. And if I don't want to give up, if a guy comes in my house to take something valuable to me, and I don't want him to take it, so there might be real physical altercations, which could lead to really bad things. We don't want that to occur. Those are all reasons not to go into the person's house. And we also said that the only time you can even take a collateral forcibly is through Beis Din. Beis Din can't go in the house, but if they find the guy outside the house, they can grab him and take something, if the Beis Din chooses to. It's because they don't want individuals to take law into their own hands. If any person who had a debt could just be accosted by the lender and say, you didn't pay me back last week when it was due, I'm grabbing your wallet, I'm grabbing your purse, I'm grabbing your phone, I'm grabbing your computer, I'm grabbing your groceries, it would create anarchy in society. People would be subject to a lot of bullying. It would be a terrible setup that people can just go and grab things from others. So the Beis Din can do that. That's their right, but no one else can. And either way, no one can go in the house. The house is off limits. And you have to respect the person's privacy and dignity. And that's a very important part of it. You can't take from an amana, from a widow. And the way the Torah describes it, which is commonly said about widows, is that they're looked at as more sensitive, more vulnerable. And the Torah warns about this so many times, that if somebody somebody torments, whether it be a widow or an orphan, that's much worse than tormenting a regular Jew, because they are more sensitive. They have been through more, and when they call to Hashem, those complaints to Hashem, those prayers are much more powerful. So to take away from a widow, it means that you should give her a loan, but taking that collateral is going to lead to her possibly feeling more down, more sensitive, more vulnerable, and we don't want to subject her to that. Additionally, the Gemara tells us that the same concern we had before is here as well, that there's an issue of modesty and immorality. If you're constantly doing business with a widow who's on her own, a single woman, and the lender, then that might lead to them being a little too close, and there's that concern as well. So yeah, that's the reason not to take collateral from a widow. And then you have this idea of returning the collateral, you know, by day or by night if it's needed. And the Torah says very explicitly, it says, "Bamei yishkov," what should he sleep in? It's just that you're going to take somebody who owes you money. He should have to have no pajamas. He should sleep on the floor because of that. Again, borrowing money should not ruin your life. You have to be responsible, but why are you going to ruin the person? You can't torture somebody because they owe you money. That's the point. It's not an excuse for causing someone torment. So if the person needs pajamas, so if they have other pajamas, you could take their second pair of pajamas. But if only one pair of pajamas, you have to make sure they have it at night. Only one mattress, you have to give it back at night. Only one pillow, give it back at night, because they shouldn't have to suffer physically because of this. They should be responsible, but not suffer. So I think really all of these laws have that same point, which is it's so against the grain of, you know, how loans work in modern days. I really think so. But we always have to say money is money and life is life. Money is not life. And two things have to be separate. There's a Medrash, which is a fascinating thing. The Medrash says that really Hashem and people have a similar relationship. What does that mean? The Medrash says that every night we go to sleep, Hashem takes our neshama. We know the neshama goes to Hashem when we're sleeping. And in the morning it comes back to us. Modani lefanecha, we say modani, we wake up, and that's recognizing Hashem hechzar to be neshmasi, Hashem, you've restored my neshama this morning. So really the relationship between Hashem and a person is that we're giving Hashem a collateral at night. Hashem's taking our neshama at night as collateral and returning it to us during the day. It's like taking somebody's, you know, tools they need for work at night, give back in the morning. So we are indebted to Hashem. Now, Hashem gives us loans, and meaning our lease on life and food and everything we have is on loan from Hashem, basically. We're indebted to Hashem. We owe Hashem. We certainly owe Hashem for everything we have. So Hashem at night, he has our neshama with him, and that's as if the collateral. But Hashem gives it back in the morning. Hashem says, but you need your neshama on the day in order so you can wake up and function. Okay. So therefore, I'm going to give it back to you every single day so you can go out in life and accomplish. So Hashem to us is like this lender who's taking the collateral in the day and then giving back during the day. It's that same model. And Hashem restores to us our neshama the same way we have to restore to the borrower his collateral. So we have that model, and it's an important message for us to know that what we have really is on loan from Hashem. Nothing we have really is ours. Everything Hashem has granted us to use. And we're supposed to, we owe Hashem our dues. Now we have to be sure that the way we act in life is kind of repaying Hashem, as it were, for what he's given to us. So to me, again, these things usually are not that applicable in everyday life. Even when we do give out loans, The idea of taking little things as collateral is not all that common. Thank God most of us, even if I went in and took your plates, you have more than one plate or more than one pair of pajamas, so that's usually not an issue. I guess it could come up, you give a loan to an almana, to a widow, that definitely is something that could come up in everyday life. But to me, it's a much bigger message. And the message is that money and debt are not everything. People take risks when they take money. If they're irresponsible, then they should pay back, and they should make sacrifices to pay back. And that's clear. And the base thing will make sure of that. But there's a certain line that we draw and say, my debts can't ruin my life. And as soon as somebody is tormenting another, causing them to suffer because of a debt, they're crossing a line in the Torah, because the debt is about a relationship of kindness and care. And just because I owe you money doesn't mean you have the right to embarrass me, to torment me, to torture me, to starve me. Any of these things can't be done according to halacha. So it's a perspective, I think, on money in general, on loans in specific. And it's a lesson we can all take in contrast, I think, to modern society around us.
Cool. It's interesting that when embarrassing somebody has been described as murder.
Yeah.
When somebody's embarrassed, they